And today we're in the last week of what has been a five-week series, kind of based around Stephen Furtick's book, Do the New You, the new you, not the old you. You know, some people go, I just want to be the best version of me, and I kind of understand that, and there's a truth to that, but ultimately, what we really want to be is the best version of the born-again you, the you that God knew before he even created you and designed you and I to be in a relationship with Jesus, to be new creations, to be born from above. And today, I want to talk the mindset that we've been doing, five mindsets, so this is the last one, the mindset I want to talk about. Pastor Stephen calls it, God is not against me, but he's in it with me, working with me and fighting for me. God's for me is the essence of today's message. My title for it, because I'm kind of preaching my message around this topic, but my title for this is God has a plan. God has a plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a plan for you. Come on, right around the room. I'm seeing heads turning. I'm seeing others not so much. Come on, high five your other neighbor. Tell him God's got a plan for you. Let's go, Melbourne. God's got a plan for you. Now, let me take you back. Okay, I'm going to show my age a little bit right now, and this probably will relate to anybody over about 40 years ago, but these days we have Google Maps or Waze. If we want to go somewhere, we just program in where we want to go. All right. Now, young people, let me just talk to you as a maturer person right now. It has not always been so. There was a day when in Melbourne you'd pull out the Melways, a book. Up here you'd pull out the Refidex. In New Zealand you'd pull out the Refidex. The Refidex. So, I don't know if that's what you'd do. But you'd pull out... So I'm having fun with Pastor Teresa here, Melbourne. It's okay. She's been talking Kiwi up here for us. So you would pull it out and you would work out what page you were on, and then you would go to the back and work out the in the index. It was like a really thick book. The index, where's the street that you want to go, and it would say, okay, that's on L5, you know, page 53, and then it'd give you the little grid. It might be L4, and you're like, okay, that's where I want to go. But you'd be on another page. And then the skill would be to work out what's the best way. No GPS, no Siri talking to us right now, no Alexa, none of that. No, my Siri speaks to me in Irish. I love it. I've programmed him to talk to me in Irish, and so that's quite confusing for me, but I love it. But so none of that. You would just kind of work out, and sometimes between where you are and where you're going, there might be 15 different pages. And you'd go across the bottom corner of a page, and you'd like, oh, okay, we go through there. And you know, if you were planning the family holiday trip, you'd have to write down where we're going and the best way, and manually calculate the kilometers and what the speed limit would be. And there's none of this 14 hours that way and 12 hours. You had to work it all out, right? Who's with me? All right, quick wave of hands. Let's just do a survey. Okay. Okay, who drove with that? Okay, have we got anybody who's 40 who drove, who knows what I'm talking about? Okay, there we go. So that's about the right era. So under that, blessed. The global positioning system is amazing and I love it. Planning a route or a route for where you're going to go was quite complex. Many a husband and wife had an awkward moment around a Melways or a Refidex. Like, what are we doing here? I thought we were supposed to be there. You're the navigator. Who planned this out? Many, you know, I'm not going to ask to bring up any trauma for you here today. We'll just leave that alone. Some people who will remain nameless may have done long drives with a Refidex or a Melways on their lap, eating a pie with a can of Coke, driving with their knees. Some people, I've been told that's what some people would do. Again, don't recommend, highly don't suggest that's the way you do it, all right? But ultimately, there'd be a skill to planning. And I know we've got some planners in our church, people who like to forward think beyond what's for lunch today. Some of you are forward thinking weeks and months. I know Zoe down there, Zoe Marks is a great planner. Led the meeting this morning, loves to plan and organize things ahead. I'm married to a planner who's just got our lives organized into the future. It's magnificent. I don't know how I'd survive without her. Come on, shout out to all the planners. All the planners, give me a wave. All the pre-planners. Come on, you're doing really well. Well, you know why you're a planner? Because you're made in the image of God, and He has a plan for your life. God is a planner. He made, you know, the Bible tells us that before He created the world, He knew you and me, and He had plans for us. He had thoughts towards us about what our lives would look like. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says this, "For I," capital I, that's God, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." Now, here's the good thing about God's plans for His people. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I want to speak to somebody today and encourage you that God has got a plan for your life. God has got a plan for your family. God's got a plan for your marriage. God's got a plan for your future. God's got a plan for your career. God's got a plan for your finances. He's got a plan for the call of God and the purpose of God on your life. God has a plan. I love that about Him. I love sometimes when I don't know what to do, when I'm trying to work out, where am I? What's going on? Why is there no momentum? Or what's going on? And it's just good to sit back every now and then and go, God's for me, and He's got a plan for me. Yeah. Yeah. Say that after me. God's for me, and He's got a plan for me. Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His ways." I love this about God. He delights in our ways. You know what? There's times or seasons in our life where we feel stuck. Right. Where we feel like we're not got any momentum going on in our life. Yeah. Where we are wondering, what's the next step for me? How do I get out of this place, this quicksand, this difficult season that I'm in? Sometimes you can feel like you're going around and around in circles. Sometimes you can feel like there's a dark cloud over your life and there's really no purpose or future for you. And this is the moments for us to draw back into this mindset, this truth, and it's this: God has a plan, and it's a good plan for our lives. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." And I love that. God's, you know, I was thinking as we're going to plant this location in Sydney a number of years ago, and it's good for us to think and strategize and plan for our future. It's part of the way God's designed us to organize, to prepare, to pray, and to kind of use our brain and to connect with God to make plans. And so a number of years ago, we presented some plans for our church. We've got a vision to plant five locations in the 20s and then ultimately to be a multi-site church of about 10 locations. And so that's kind of come out of both scripture and prophetic promises for our church. And so a number of years ago, as we're building sort of making plans, we put a list up of all of the location potential areas that we might have a church plant. Places like Toowoomba, places like the Gold Coast, you know, we were just thinking it through. We wrote down Harvey Bay, a whole lot of different places. You know what wasn't on the list? Sydney. Sydney wasn't on the list. And it's when I think about that scripture right then, many of the plans in a man's heart, or we can make our plans, but it's the Lord who determines our steps. It doesn't mean we don't plan. We make plans, but ultimately when you're walking with God, there's a trust that God is ordering our steps. I remember the moment it happened. A prophet came to our church, David McCracken. He began to prophesy over our church a word from God saying that we're about to go from two locations to three locations. It'll create a whole lot of strength for our church. He said that in the next 12 months we would conceive where that location would be and then we'd make the plans. And this is now almost 2 years ago since that prophecy. And you know, a couple of things happened when that word came to us. Number one, I'm like, yeah, that wasn't my plan. My plan was about 2027. We'd be looking to think about the next church plant. That was in my thinking. We'd already sent the Moors to Auckland. We'd already planted Melbourne and sent some great people to Melbourne. So in my logical brain, okay, logic's good, but it has its limits. And in my logical brain, I thought, that's what we're going to do. We're going to, at that time. So God comes and speaks to us and says, actually, it's going to be sooner than you thought. And then the next thing, he's like, it's going to be in a city. And so we went upstairs with a group of team of us and we walked around the room that night after the prophecy. And I'm like, okay, who do you think it's going to be? I like to play these kind of games. Who do you think it's going to be? And who's going to be the leader of the location? And we went around the room and everyone was saying names off the list that we'd already talked about. Until we got to Danielle and Teresa and Ebony, three of our real prophetic people. And they just literally, the first ones who were the only ones that said this, they all went, Sydney, Sydney, Sydney. And you sense the Spirit of God come on it in that moment. And so we began to talk because Teresa's had prophecies about church planting. I'm like, Teresa, you're from Sydney? You can go back and plant a church in Sydney. And then she got all these prophecies and all this confirmation as well. It's fascinating to me. This is how it works. We can make our plans, and it's good to make our plans, but it's good to hold our plans loosely. Because God has a plan. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan to help things unfold. And so I want to talk to somebody today who feels stuck. I want to talk to somebody today who feels like your plans or vision or goals are delayed and aren't showing any signs of forward momentum. I want to talk to somebody today who just doesn't even have a sense of vision about your future and help us to get on God's page. You're ready to go. Dan and Ebony in Melbourne, you're ready to go? Here we go. Now, let's talk about a few things and how God's plans work for us. The first thing to understand if we're going to walk with God and His plans is that He loves to partner with us. When you become a Christian, when you begin a relationship with God, and if you've never done this, you're in the right place and it's the right day. Whether you're watching online or you're in the room in Melbourne or here, today's the day to begin a relationship with God. When you begin a relationship with God, one of the awesome things that happens is His Holy Spirit literally comes and lives in our heart. The Bible tells us that our body, in the New Testament, Old Testament, God dwelt in a temple, in a little room. But when Jesus was risen from the dead, or crucified and risen from the dead, the temple curtains tore apart from the top to the bottom. That's because God tore the temple, the curtain apart. And at that moment, God got out of the temple because He's ready to come and dwell in the hearts of men and women. The moment you begin a relationship with God, what happens is the Bible says His Holy Spirit comes and lives in our heart.
So good. Yeah.
So you and I today, if you're a follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God lives in your heart. He's there. Now, you might not feel Him. You might not be aware of Him. You might not be listening to Him, but He's there. He's got a whole job description in our life and in our heart of what God's Spirit in our heart does. One is that the Bible says that He pours out the Father's love into our heart. This is why I love when we come to church and we worship God and we lift up our hands and we pray and we, you know, when you begin to feel God's presence, I don't know if many of us would, and there's this sense of our emotions start to get touched or we feel an uplift, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God pouring His love into our heart. But here's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. He's not just pouring God's love into our heart. He actually wants to be our partner.
Right. Yeah.
He wants to be our partner. He wants to be our helper. John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I, Jesus, go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, capital H, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." Oh, this is the greatest news on the planet. The one who knows your best next step in life, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside. The one who knows the answer to the biggest problem you're facing right now lives on the inside. The one who's got answers for your finances, answers for your marriage, answers for your prodigal child, answers for every situation in your life. The one who knows the answers lives in your heart. And so this is what I found. And so, sorry, camera guys, come with me for a moment. Maybe 30 years ago, so I read a book by Dr. Yongyi Cho, and he called it The Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. And I love the idea that I'm not doing life alone. You're not doing life alone. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and he's not just our partner, He's our senior partner. That means it's the will of God that He's working on in our life, but He wants to get involved with us. So how do I tap into the help of the Holy Spirit, I hear you ask? Great question. How do I partner with God? So if God's got a plan for me, how do I partner with God for that to unpack? And this is what I've found. I've found that there's two ways for me to try and work out the plan. One way is for me to stress, think, worry, regurgitate, get on the treadmill, stress, and just really, you know, and use my brain as best as I can. And God gave us a brain for a reason. He wants us to use our brain. But when you're partnering with the Holy Spirit, there's another realm where God wants to speak into our heart, whispers of wisdom. And there are whispers of wisdom. And what I've found, the reason I'm down here, here's the metaphor, is there's a place where I'm just trying to work stuff out in my natural ability. How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I do this? But there's another realm where there's supernatural wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you in James lack wisdom, let them ask. Don't let them ask doubting. Let them ask in faith, and God will give it to you. The Holy Spirit, He's called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. So your and my number one goal in walking in God's plan for our life is to get out of the natural flesh zone where we're trying to work it all out ourselves, and to get in a realm where the Spirit of God can whisper to our hearts. Sometimes we're here, but where we really need to be is up here. Yeah. Just I'm using a metaphor for a spiritual purpose for a moment, Melbourne. And it looks like this. I'm down here. I would do this a few times a week where I'm trying to solve a problem, and I get so caught up in trying to solve the problem and think it through that I get locked up and stressful. And what I often have to do is go, put the problem aside, reorient my focus to God. That's why we come into it. This is what's happening for many of us, as when we came to church today. We came to church with a burden. We came to church with a problem. We came to church with a concern. And the whole point of why we start with worship is we're looking to get out of the natural realm into the spiritual realm, where God has our heart and He has our focus and He has the capacity to whisper to our heart, this is what my thoughts are about this situation. Isaiah chapter 55 says it like this: God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. What are His ways? His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So how do I tap into the thoughts, the ways of God? I've got to get higher. I've got to find ways to get out of the stuff into the presence of God. Not get high, thank you, guys. Get higher, just to make that really, really clear. We've got to, so this is, you know, that looks like on the daily, setting some time aside to worship, spend time with God, come aside, draw near, get that sense of His presence around our lives so He can whisper to us. It means weekly, just coming into the house of God to worship, to pray, to seek God. It means that there's a couple of moments a year. We have a conference at the end of July called Powerhouse Conference, and there's a couple of moments a year where we actually go, God, I'm spending 3 or 4 days in Your presence. I'm going to withdraw from the normal stuff so I can get up on the mountain to see Your perspective. I talked to a couple today who've had a miracle happen in their lives with buying a house. They're not even citizens of this country, but they bought a house with government funding. It's a miracle. And I said, how did that happen? What happened with that? And they said, oh, we were at Powerhouse Conference, and there was a moment, all right, because God moves in moments. God's always setting us up for moments. There could be a moment today where God puts something in your heart. And it said, you just stood up the front and you're talking about, you can see God placing keys miraculously into people's hands for their houses. And that moment, something went off on the inside of us. We knew that was us. We began to apply for a house. We began to apply to buy and to build a house. And we got funding. We're not even citizens. It's just an absolute miracle. You know why that works? Because God has a plan. And the Holy Spirit wants to partner with us. But we have to position ourselves to hear the whisper of God daily, weekly, annually. All right. That's the partnership we have with God. He partners with us. Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. Aha. Remember, He's the senior partner. That means I might want to do this, but He wants to do that. It's higher. It's different. Sometimes we get stuck because God's waiting for us to submit. Sometimes we're beating our head against the wall, wondering why this door's not opening, and we haven't actually stopped to say, hey, God, is this your path? Is this what you want to do in my life? And we're like, we're frustrated, and it's kind of like our relationship is more like we're the senior partner. The Holy Spirit's my junior partner. He's my helper. That means I set the agenda and he does what I want him to do, and I kind of see him as an answerer of my prayers and my will. But that's not what a relationship with God looks like. He wants us to submit to him, trust in the Lord with all your hearts, lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. This is the first thing. He wants to partner with us. God has a plan. The second is he gives us promises. I love this. So I found that, you know, we talk about going on a long journey with God, and I would love if God said, okay, John, here's the plan for your life. Over the next 50 years, I'm just going to write it all down for you. This is what, I probably wouldn't love that actually, but anyway, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. And you know, it's like, God, I'll take you to page 14 to L3, and then we'll go to page 17 in the Refidex to page, that's just not how God works. God works in a trusting invite. What I've found walking with God's plan is less like planning out a long-term journey and having it worked out. It's more like a treasure hunt. It's more like a scavenger hunt. And you're like, what's the plan, God? Where are we going? Where are we going? And he goes, here's a little hint. When you get there, I'll reveal the next phase. You're like, oh, okay. So you know, he gives a little clue, and we drive the car, and we're like, okay, looks like this, drive there. Okay, we're here. And then we find the next little bit of treasure advice, and it unpacks. That's what walking with God looks like. You're like, no, where are we going? Where's the end goal? What's the aim here? And that's just not how God works. God, number one, here's the thing. He actually prioritizes relationship for you and I. This is what he wants. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to be in this closeness to us. And so that's why partnership is really important. And so he's less worried about the destination, and he's more focused on the journey with us. And so he reveals little bits piece by piece. I found it's easy to obsess over the details of our plans. It's easy to obsess over the delays. It's easy to obsess over the problems. But God in his kindness actually gives us promises. Promises. This is Abraham in the Bible is one of these. God gave him a promise that he'd be the father of many nations, that he and his wife would have a son, that son would multiply. And from when God gave the promise to when they actually had that son of promise was 25 years. I used to find that really discouraging. Now I find that actually really encouraging. God can take a long time to do something suddenly in your life. He can take a long time to move. And so this is what Romans tells us about Abraham. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. He faced that fact. And Sarah's womb was also dead. But he did not waver through unbelief regarding what? The promise of God. But was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had. Let me hear you, Melbourne. What he had? God's got power to do it. So here's one of the keys to walking a supernatural journey in God's plan for your life. It's not obsessing over the problems. It's obsessing over the promises. What are the promises that God's given to you? What are the promises God's given to me? The way I like to think about it is we need to spend time marinating in God's promises. This year, I'm becoming a steak guy, okay? That's one of my goals I was always a steak guy as far as eating, but this year I'm learning to cook beautiful steaks on a char-grilled fire pit. That's one of my goals. And one of the things that I've learned is all about the different processes of marinating and getting the flavors in. And so this might be a double help to somebody today along with the plan of God. But one of the things I learned was to take the steak out about 24 hours before you cook it, a good juicy piece of steak, to get the marinade or some beautiful, really good quality salt, to dry the steak, to rub the salt in, and then to sit it in the fridge uncovered for 24 hours before you use it. It's called dry brining. You're welcome. Okay. So the whole process, this is what happens in this process. And whether it's dry brining or whether it's marinating, whether you take a steak and you sit it in a marinade, or whether you take your curry and you sit it in a marinade, the whole point, so that in that exercise, the salt draws the moisture out, then it flavors it up, and then it gets drawn back in, so this deep flavor gets into the steak. That's the goal, all right? And then it crusts up, and then at the end, you cook it over a flame, and mwah! Who wants steak for lunch? Anybody? All right, there we go. Sorry. So this is the whole principle there is to get something drawn in for flavor. I want to talk to you about the promises of God. Okay, some of you are off planning your lunch. I'm going to Outback Steakhouse for lunch, or what can we get one? All right, not that. Okay, the promises of God. When you're on a plan with God and you feel stuck, you feel like there's no progress, you feel like nothing's moving, the thing that you have to intentionally work at is attaching your faith to God's promises and obsessing with these promises, not the problems. It's easy to worry about the problems. But there are promises for your life, and there are promises for my life as we, and you know, for me, this is what I would do. I would find that whatever the topic is, and Danielle and I have done this for years, whatever the topic is, what's God said about this particular situation? There was a moment for us when we were about $500 upside down in our monthly budget, and we just didn't have enough to get from, you know, through the month. And so we began to talk and pray about it. We're wise stewards. Do we need to work more? Do we need to make cutbacks? And we just kind of went through. Danielle was working 3-part-time jobs. I had 2 jobs, so we couldn't really work more. We'd cut the budget right back as much as we could. We really felt like God said, this is a faith journey for you at this moment. And so there was a scripture that came alive as I read my Bible, because this is when you partner with the Holy Spirit. He gives you scriptures. He gives you promises. And the promise said, your work will give you what you need. Blessings and good things will come to you. So we had to make a decision at that point. All right, that's God's got a plan here. And his plan is to prosper us and to bless us. But we have to make a choice to grow our faith by attaching to the promises of God. So very simply, we just said, okay, every day for 10 minutes, we're going to pray over our finances together, and we're going to declare God's promises together. And it became an exercise for us. And we actually said, Lord, don't just give us an extra $500 a month. We'd like some more so we can bless people more, we can be generous, we can go out to the movies, etc. What was really cool is as we really focused on God's promises. And if you've never done this, highly recommend. Get the promises out. Put it on the screen of your phone. Put it on your iPad. Write it. Put it on the fridge. Put it on the bathroom wall. Put it on the toilet door. Wherever you're going to spend some time, let the promises of God be in front of you. And as you say, whatever it is, if it's your children you're worried about, get some promises from God about your children. Come on, someone in Melbourne right now, God's got a promise for you about your children that you're worried about. He's got a promise about your health that you're concerned about. He's got promises. And if we get the promises, here's the challenge, is to lift our eyes up. So what can you, I have reminders go off in my phone on a regular basis. I know Pastor Phil Pringle, I've been with him, and there's about 3 times a day a promise will come up that he's believing God for, and it just pops up on his phone, and he determines to speak the promise of God on a regular basis, because our problems are easy to get sucked into. But the promises of God have power. They have power to work in our life. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact, didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. I want us to close our eyes right now. Melbourne, why don't you close your eyes? Just stay with me for a moment. Father, today I thank you. Whatever we're facing, you've got a plan to get us through it. You got promises for us. You're amazing. Lord, let hope rise in hearts today. It's not always going to be like this. It's it's not always going to be as challenging as it is right now. Some of you, you're in a season, and it's called a season for a reason. It will pass. Can I encourage you today? Come up higher. Come up higher to where the plans of God are. Come up higher to where the promises of God are. Come up higher to where the whispers of God are. Surrender to Him. Father, I pray Your blessing on every member of C3 Powerhouse. I pray for courage. I pray for strength. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.